is my pleasure to call to order the December 5th, 2002 meeting of the Parks and Recreation Commission. If the commissioners would please rise and pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you so much.
Before we do the roll call, it is my great joy to introduce our newest commissioner, Grace Hugh, who is our student member. Grace, welcome to the commission. We're so pleased to have you. All right, Mr. Mendoza, would you please do the roll call?
Right. Commissioner Furia?
Present.
Commissioner Replico-Purinton?
Present.
Commissioner Walton? Commissioner Hugh?
Present.
Vice Chair Jenkins?
Present.
Chair Williams?
Present. Thank you very much, Mr. Mendoza. We will now have the public forum. But a first item with respect to the public forum is to note that the commission has received a written comment from Bill Schellor on Winchester 2. This comment was provided to the commission, is available online, and will be included in today's meeting minutes. As the public comment is unrelated to items on the posted agenda, tonight the commission cannot take action or have any discussion on this item in accordance with the provisions of the Ralph M. Brown Act. Now, Mr. Mendoza, we will check with you to see if there are any public comments regarding any items not on the agenda.
If there are any members of the public wishing to speak on an item that is not on the agenda, please use the raise hand icon and I will call on you shortly. And it looks like we do have a hand up. Catherine, I will go ahead and unmute you on our side. If you can please unmute yourself on your side, and you can begin speaking. You will have 3 minutes.
Hi, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Great. Okay. So thank you to Joanne Plummer and Leonel Mendoza Diaz for inviting Santa Barbara Audubon Society today. I also want to thank the Parks and Recreation Commissioners for all of their service. I want to give a special thank you to Daryl West for her dedication and leadership as chair. We deeply appreciate your support protecting birds and habitat in Goleta. Thank you. Thank you to the City of Goleta Mayor, City Council people and staff for their support and the grant to help sponsor Santa Barbara Audubon Society's Winter Bird Camp for Kids event. And that's what I'm here tonight to speak about. Briefly, we just want to invite you to join us at our upcoming event on January 21st from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. 2023 at Lake Los Caneros. At the event, students learn about birds, the importance of Lake Los Caneros as a unique open space gem in Goleta, and environmental stewardship. Students learn about different habitats. The first 75 kids receive free t-shirts, bird checklists, and bird bingo cards. And we welcome you and your families to join us, please. It's free to everybody, but the first 75 get the t-shirts. We have a binocular boot camp, and we loan out binoculars to teach students how to use binoculars. And we have volunteers who are experts at teaching this, and they do that with their time. Volunteers and Audubon members lead small groups of students around the lake and teach them how to bird. At the end of the event, we all come together to total the number of bird species seen. The target age is about 8 to 16 years old. It's our 9th year this year, and we are just so excited to be back in person. So we hope to see you there. We thank our Audubon volunteers and staff, Goleta, the Historical Society Stowe House, and Christ Lutheran Church for their support. Thank you so much. Hope to see you there.
Thank you very much for your comments and for all of your excellent work on the bird count and other issues. We appreciate your sharing your news with the commission and the community. All right. Are there any further public comments, Mr. Mendoza?
There are no further comments.
Thank you so much. We can then proceed to the consent agenda item on the consent calendar. And Mr. Mendoza, will you please read the items on the consent calendar into the record?
Of course. We have item A1, approval of the September 28th, 2022 and October 12th, 2022 Parks and Recreation Commission meeting minutes. We have item A2, Parks and Recreation Manager Project and Program Updates. Item A3, Parks and Open Space Division Report. And item A4, Director's Report.
Thank you. And Mr. Mendoza, I believe that you are going to make a few comments with respect to the agenda items.
Yes, so it is going to be for item A1. We are going to have to vote on them separately, as there were some members that were not present for the September 28th and October 12th commission meetings.
Thank you. So we'll pull those items for the time being. And now I would like to ask if any other commissioners would like to pull an item from the consent agenda to discuss it further or ask any questions. I would like to pull the Parks and Open Space Division report, item A3, for a few questions and comments. Anything else? All right. Mr. Mendoza, can you see if the public wishes to speak to any of these items?
If there's any members of the public wishing to speak on this item, please use the raise hand icon and I can call on you shortly. And there are no hands raised.
All right. So I will go ahead and just make a few comments. All the reports were, as usual, excellent. And I just had a couple things I wanted to discuss and highlight with respect to Mr. Thompson's report. There we go. First of all, Mr. Thompson, you raised a lot of good news in your report, which is fun to highlight. The fact that we have quite a few new open positions that you are filling, which is terrific. There was a little bit of bad news, unfortunately, about the loss of the environmental services specialist, which leads to my first question. You noted in your report that he was doing a lot of work on the Lake Los Caneros master plan update. What does his departure mean for the timing and completion of the master plan? If you could share that with us, please.
Good evening, Chair Williams and Park and Recreation Commissioners. I'm George Thompson, the Parks and Open Space Manager. To clarify, the individual that held that position unfortunately had to resign. That position was held by Jocelyn Fritz. In answering your question, not having that key role filled means that all of the projects that she was heading, including the Lake Los Caneros Master Plan update, are temporarily on hold. So we need to hire the new staff person, get them trained, oriented, and then move forward with the projects that Jocelyn was leading. In terms of timing, that likely means a 4 to 6 month delay. We want to find the right person that has a wealth of experience in project management, understands permitting, understands environmental stewardship, habitat restoration, public community engagement. There's quite a few different hats this individual needs to wear. I will take this opportunity, since we're on camera and on TV and this is a broadcast, if you are interested in this position, please contact me. We don't have it posted yet, but I do want to hear from you. And you know, start that dialogue of just what you're interested in as a job applicant and start tracking down to the right person for this position.
Thank you.
And Chair Williams, I just want to acknowledge that I realize that this is one of your passion projects, and it's unfortunate that we do have this resignation and there's delay in the project. I just want to acknowledge that that is a shared frustration. So,
I know that will be very disappointing to many people in the community, but thank you for your enthusiasm about filling it quickly and getting the master plan back on track. 20 years and counting is a long time. Okay, other good news to worth highlighting is that the maintenance staff for our city parks and open spaces is going to be increased from 1.5 to 6 maintenance staff. And that is fabulous. That will really have a, I think, day-to-day, very visual and other important positive impact and improved janitorial services. You also highlighted that so far the monarch count is up, which is huge, wonderful news, and already seen some lovely photos from Elwood Mesa. My last point to emphasize, and then a follow-up specific question for you, is in the Goleta Creek cleanups, you highlight the wonderful work that has been done this year and in past years with respect to Goleta Creek cleanups. I strongly agree. I've had the opportunity to participate every year and was involved in the San Pedro cleanup this year. It's hard, but really satisfying work. You made a shout out for Brian Troutwine, and you said he should be recognized, and I agree. And while we can't act on that at this meeting because it hasn't been agendized, I would really appreciate from you a recommendation to either the commission or to the city council or both on how he can be recognized, because his work has been extraordinary. Can we count on you for that, a specific recommendation? That would be wonderful. All right, I have no other further questions or comments. Any other questions or comments on Mr. Thompson's report? All right, with that then, Mr. Mendoza, I think we can go ahead and take, I guess, 3 votes. One on the first minutes, the second on the second minutes, and then the third on everything else.
Okay, so this will be for the September 28th Parks and Recreation Commission meeting minutes. Commissioner Furia?
Approve.
Commissioner Hugh?
Abstain.
Commissioner Replical-Pierrenton?
Approve.
Commissioner Walton?
Approve.
Vice Chair Jenkins?
Approve.
Chair Williams?
Approve.
And now moving forth to the October 12th Parks and Recreation Commission meeting minutes. Commissioner Furia?
Approve.
Commissioner Hugh?
Abstain.
Commissioner Replical-Pierrenton?
Approve.
Commissioner Walton?
Approve.
Vice Chair Jenkins?
Abstain.
And Chair Williams?
Approve.
And the final vote for the item A, Commissioner Furia?
This is to approve the remainder of the consent agenda.
Yes, thank you. Approve.
Chair Williams, we actually need a motion and a second to approve the consent calendar.
Oh, very good. I will accept a motion to approve the consent calendar.
I'll motion that since I didn't know what we were doing.
Thank you very much. It's been moved. And Mr. Jenkins, Commissioner Jenkins, are you the second?
I am indeed.
Okay, very good. Thank you. It's been moved and seconded. Now, Mr. Mendoza, thank you.
Commissioner Furia?
Approve. Or yes.
Commissioner Hugh?
Yes.
Commissioner Replical-Pierrenton?
Aye.
Commissioner Watton?
Did you say, okay, I'm sorry. Aye.
Vice Chair Jenkins?
Approve.
And Chair Williams?
Approve.
Motion passes.
Thank you so much. That then brings us to Section B of the agenda, the presentation section. We're going to begin by a report from Mr. Thompson on creek and watershed management program updates. Mr. Thompson, if you could please provide your update, we'd greatly appreciate it.
Great. Thank you, Chair and Commissioners. This evening, we're going to be providing a team presentation, and I have with us Melissa Nelson, who's our Environmental Services Manager, and then we also have Jane Gray from DUDEC, one of our consultants that has been instrumental in developing an incredibly important plan for the city of Goleta, and we're talking about our creek and watershed management plan. When we think about Goleta, a lot of the people that live here as part of our community value creeks and watersheds, our beaches. They really form the backbone of why Goleta is such a beautiful place. We have incredible wildlife, steelhead trout, monarch butterflies, a whole suite of raptors. And then going to the beach, if you enjoy the beach, you enjoy clean water quality. And as we all know, water quality is directly affected by what's upstream. And so the city of Goleta had the foresight back in 2006 in our general plan to adopt some measures in there that identifies the development of a creek and watershed master plan. It took quite a while for us as a city and as a community to develop that plan, but City Council adopted it in 2020. We think of this plan as really highlighting both the things that are good about our creeks and watersheds, but also identifying things that we need to work on. And so we'll be going through the presentation tonight, highlighting certain aspects of the plan, highlighting some recent accomplishments, and then generally talking about what's ahead of us. We use the plan as a guide, and within that guide, there are some very specific things that both Ms. Nelson and I are working on. Some of the things that the commission has seen through our work at Elwood, but there's probably gonna be quite a few new items that the commission has not seen. And this is good timing because tomorrow evening we're actually gonna be at City Council doing a similar presentation. So really kicking off our 2023 work plan. We both Ms. Nelson and I have a handful of projects that we're hoping to make good progress on next year that directly improve habitat or increase water quality. So with that, I'll turn it over to Ms. Gray.
Good evening, Chair Williams, Vice Chair Jenkins, Commissioners. Thank you, Mr. Thompson, Ms. Nelson. Very honored to be here this evening and would like to just give you a little overview of the Creek and Watershed Management Plan, sort of how we got to the point where we are now and where we are going. Feel free to interrupt me at any time if you have any questions. Next slide, please. Great. So Mr. Thompson gave you a pretty good overview. I don't want to belabor anything. We can go to the next slide. Do I have an opportunity to advance, or that way I don't need to harass you to advance the slides? Okay, thank you. So here we have a map of the city of Goleta, as you can see. This comes straight out of the Creek and Watershed Management Plan. And this map was generated several times over the genesis of the Creek and Watershed Management Plan. So as a little bit of background, again, I'm with DUDEC. I'm a regional planner. And DUDEC and the city partnered. We had a good amount of support with the city leading on generation of the Creek and Watershed Management Plan from 2019 to 2020. As Mr. Thompson said, it was adopted in 2020. And throughout that process, we went through a lot of stakeholder engagement, technical advisory committee meetings, and the Creek and Watershed Management Plan is implementation of both the general plan and the local coastal plan policies. And so the Creek and Watershed Management Plan is all embracing. It takes in all 12 creeks within the city of Goleta, understanding that there are up in the watershed, different uses than what happens in the city of Goleta, so we take that into consideration, and then everything obviously flows to the beach. Okay, let's see if I can get this to work now. Nope, wrong way. There we go. So again, implementation of the city's general plan and coastal land use plan and part of the conservation element. So the Creeky Watershed Management Plan was developed over a year's time, pretty intensively with technical advisory committee input and stakeholder input. It was adopted by City Council in November of 2020. And certainly in the 2 years since then, there's been a lot of work that the city has done to implement portions of the plan. Most significantly, really looking at what the tasks, what the projects, both capital improvement projects and programs need to be put in place, how best to work with the community on getting those advanced, and of course, critical to that, how to fund it all. And certainly water quality, habitat, and enhancement of the great resources that the city of Goleta had are foremost in the Creek and Watershed Management Plan implementation. So recent accomplishments that I'd like to go through in this next section, and again, sort of hearkening back to a previous statement, a lot of the work that is included is presently unfunded, right? Part of the plan is outlining the vision for water quality, for enhancement of creeks and watersheds. And in order to really ensure that funding once identified is going to the right places, identifying the tools, the technology for assessing where we are in the creeks and watersheds as it relates to, let's say, stream erosion or bank erosion or water quality overall. And then ensuring that we have really good data that we're analyzing, evaluating that data, communicating that out back to the community, as well as gathering it from the community. And to that point, we are doing a number of communication, education, and outreach events. And all of those items have ensued over the last 2 years to get us to this point, and will continue as we move forward with Creek and Watershed Management Plan implementation. So the first priority, once the plan was adopted, was sort of internally focused to the city and implementing strategies included in the Creek and Watershed Management Plan, such as ensuring that there's adequate staff and resources to implement. So to that, Goleta welcomed many new environmental staff members, including Civic Spark Fellows. They also procured a number of contractors to assist with implementation, DUDEC being one of them. Grant funding is also an extremely important part of opportunities as you move forward with Creek and Watershed Management Plan implementation. And given the fact that there are a number of state and federal funding opportunities moving forward, both the city and DUDEC are really interested in ensuring that we're scoping out and identifying and aligning projects and programs with both state and federal funding, certainly in the billions of dollars at this point that we're seeing. So to that point, staff worked really hard to identify a project and got CalRecycle beverage grant funding. That's approximately $8,000 annually to help with creek cleanup efforts. Staff also availed themselves of the Caltrans Bulky Items Collection Grant. That's approximately $20,000 also to help with cleanup efforts. Staff secured a really critical Cal Fire grant in the amount of 1.7 to mitigate the risks of wildfire at Elwood Mesa, and then also pursued and obtained a California Coastal Conservancy grant for a huge amount of money, $3.9 million for the Elwood Mesa Monarch Butterfly Habitat Management Plan. Another implementation component, Goal 3, Strategies and Actions, is ensuring that the city has the tools, the technology, and the data to move forward with projects and programming, again, implementing the Creek and Watershed Management Plan. That also is sort of interwoven into other regulatory mandates that the city must implement as it relates to MS4 and stormwater programming. So ensuring that these programs work together in a mutually reinforcing way is really critical as we move forward. So creating custom fields as it relates to field collection app data and geolocating for staff, providing development for citywide trash assessments and site inspections, storm drain infrastructure, and more. Obviously, these are really critical to ensuring that water quality is preserved and enhanced within the city. Developing a Beautify Goleta dashboard using GIS, which is actual and current and easily accessed by the public. And then also providing upcoming Creek and Watershed walking tour app that will be accessible for the public and easy for people to interface with as they explore the city. Education and outreach is also foundational to implementation of the Creek and Watershed Management Plan, simply because the residents of Goleta are ultimately the ones implementing. You as commissioners, city staff members, and we in the community, I'm a resident of the city of Goleta, my watershed address is Las Vegas Creek, are really part and parcel of ensuring that our community not only retains the open space and water quality and enhancements of nature that we enjoy, but that we can improve upon it and build more community support and momentum around these efforts. So implementing the goals and strategies to education and outreach, we are looking at organizing workshops and stakeholder meetings. And there's projects including improving public access for the Devereaux Creek, enhancement of trails and expanded pedestrian access. Those are CIP projects moving forward. The city established a monthly green room in the Monarch Press where you can find all kinds of information related to the programs that we have ongoing. In addition, the city implements Our Water, Our World, which is a lot of information related to both local issues, but also water quality, how to manage your gardens, how to control pesticides. All of that is really accessible and on the city's website. And then the city's been really proactive in engaging with events from the Lemon Festival to the Coastal Cleanup Day, Earth Day, Creek Reek, and all the Beautify Goleta events. So getting out into the community and really building momentum around the project. So some upcoming projects in the next 2 years, and I will have Mr. Thompson speak largely to this section, but I'll give you an overview of a couple of the key capital improvement projects that are moving forward. And these again are implementing sections of the Creek and Watershed Management Plan, one of them being the San Jose Creek Bike Path, which was approved October 4th, and will include habitat restoration and increased beneficial uses along that creek corridor. And again, scoping and data collection for the Old Town Trash Capture Device project. That is another CIP that is moving forward. And then we're also beginning scoping of the Elwood Beach Drive Drainage Project. And again, those are items that are implementing portions of the Creek and Watershed Management Plan. Mr. Thompson?
Great, thank you. If you could advance the slide, please. Okay, so within the Parks and Open Space Division, we also have several projects that we prioritize for development over the next several years. And globally, think about these projects as a way to get more of our community engaged with hands-on habitat restoration. We think that's one of the keys of success for these types of projects, is not just have the city come in and do a project and then not have, you know, ongoing stewardship and maintenance, but really getting neighbors, nonprofit groups to more like an adopt-a-space type program. That results in a couple different things. It results in intergenerational care for our watershed, so both from the young all the way down and up to the old. Really understanding where they are in the watershed, understanding what native plants grow here, what purpose they have in the food web, And on and on, you can develop a sense of really site stewardship and understanding of the ecosystem. For us, one of the things that we really need to do out the gate is to identify a suite of the worst invasive plants that are actually impacting native species or impacting water quality or simply just crowding out our rare species that are Goleta. And by Goleta, I mean that these plants have evolved for millions of years in this area and really can't be found anywhere else in the world. That's unique, and we want to preserve and encourage those types of plants to grow here. So part of that is identifying non-native invasive plants. Top candidate for removal is a plant called giant reed. It looks very much like bamboo. You can see it if you're driving southbound before you hit the Patterson exit, right as you go over San Pedro Creek. Just look over to the south, and you'll see just huge stands of what looks like bamboo. That's a non-native plant, and so that'd be a ripe opportunity to go in, remove those, and then put in things like sycamore trees, native shrubs, and other plants. So one of the big things that we want to do, though, and I mentioned this at a previous commission meeting, is not just go site by site, but really look across the board at all of our creeks and open spaces and identify the top locations where we can host community events for native plantings, host these sorts of volunteer days, and also get a sense of which sites are most impacted by non-native species. And then through that, develop a removal program. One other detail about some of the plants that we're dealing with, like giant reed, if you start at the bottom and work up, guess what? In big storms, that giant reed gets ripped out and can actually regrow downstream. So those are the sorts of strategies that we need to develop over the years, how we actually remove these plants in an effective way. That plant can grow up to 4 inches a day, by the way. Of course, you know, generally looking at habitat restoration and other city open spaces where we already have projects planned, such as out at Elwood Mesa, or where we're starting to develop new projects, such as through the Lake Los Carneros master plan update. And then a lot of our effort over the next year and a half is going to continue to be focused on the Elwood Mesa, the monarch butterfly habitat area, and Devereaux Creek. We know that a lot of our staff time and efforts are going to be focused on implementing that project. Okay, continuing on the theme of just community education and involvement, one of the things that you may see throughout the community is at a lot of our creek crossings, we do have some outdated signs that identify which creek you're moving over on the roadway, and that only really paints a limited part of the entire picture. That's a start of knowing where you are in the watershed and which watershed you're in. But we have a lot of opportunities to develop some more advanced outreach and education through our signage. Looking at things like multicultural messages, multi-economic messages, the list goes on. And then with today's technology, these signs can be both beautiful and interactive. So we can link those then to the internet and our websites and walking tours and other things that we're developing. And with that, I will pass it over to Ms. Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. Good evening, Chair Williams, Chair Jenkins, and commissioners. I'm Melissa Nelson, the Environmental Services Manager. Very happy to be here tonight talking about the Creek and Watershed Management Program. So in addition to the projects that Mr. Thompson mentioned aimed at habitat restoration and community engagement, we have numerous projects aimed at water resiliency, one of them being pollutant forensics, which is focused on water quality. Water quality is pretty fundamental to many of the goals that we're trying to achieve. And when we talk about water quality, we're not just talking about the obvious beneficial uses that we currently enjoy, such as safe water to swim in, safe shellfish to eat. When we're talking about beneficial uses, it's actually a specific term that's taking into the account anything our natural waters could potentially be used for in the future. It could be water supply, fishing, other kinds of recreation. So we really want to evaluate everything and ensure that our water quality is as good as possible to ensure anything we could potentially use our natural waters for in the future. So the City of Goleta in the Environmental Services Division has numerous programs already aimed at protecting water quality, from education in public schools to reviewing new development to making sure that it's constructed in such a way that minimizes pollution and also maximizes infiltration and groundwater recharge, to also other targeted outreach programs aimed at specific pollutants like our pesticide outreach program, Our Water, Our World, our MUTMIT program aimed at reducing bacteria and numerous others. And so all of these programs together have really helped to protect water quality, but unfortunately, we still have impacts. We still have pollutants that make their way into our creeks and watersheds. So what else can we do to really pinpoint the sources of pollutants and target our outreach or even enforcement if need be? So those in the environmental industry really call this pollutant forensics because you're treating it almost as you're evaluating it in a very rigorous method, similar to how you would investigate a crime, where you're looking at various land uses, various industries, geography, potentially climate change impacts, numerous factors. Then you're also looking at our water quality data over time and using rigorous scientific methods to look at statistical trends, correlations, and anomalies over time. So this kind of more focused research has recently begun. We certainly don't have all of the answers in terms of the cause for all of our impacts and creeks, but we do have a few bits of information that we know. Trash and bacteria are our most consistent and pervasive issues, and then we also have some periodic issues from time to time with other pollutants such as pesticides. We also know that some of these impacts may originate within the city, but we know that some of them originate outside of city limits. So this is really important in informing us and letting us know who we need to work with to achieve our water quality goals. Okay, so we're still working on that effort and we're still working on defining the problem and coming up with solutions, but since we do have some information, we know that trash and bacteria are issues. We've launched several new programs aimed at really reducing trash pollution. And the reason there was such a focus on trash pollution is because it's visible. So we know it's there. It's easier to evaluate when you can see it. And also, trash pollution can be a source of other pollutants. So in addressing trash, we may also be able to address bacteria and other sources of pollution as well. So recently, we launched the volunteer cleanup program is part of Beautify Goleta. And what this is a citywide effort aimed at really reducing our trash pollution citywide with the help of the community. Because really to accomplish the ambitious goals we have with this program, we really need to enlist the help of community, as Mr. Thompson was stating before. And it also serves to get information from them as well. We have a lot of important groups, expert groups within this program that are participating that can help educate us, and we can in turn also share information as we come along our program. So far with this program, we've had 11 successful Beautify Goleta events in 2022 and look forward to more in the future. We've recovered over 145,000 pounds of waste, with the vast majority of that being recycled, so really helping the effort of improving, reducing trash pollution in our creeks and watersheds. Another program aimed at pollution reduction is we recently have rolled out a new street sweeping program. And the way this was done is first we really evaluated some data over time. We have been, for several years now, the Environmental Services Division has been doing citywide trash surveys to identify our trash hotspots throughout the city. And as one might expect, a lot of our hotspots are correlated with high density areas, most notably Old Town Goleta, which is really important to us all. So we revised our street sweeping program to include manual cleaning around obstructions and additional regular sweeping in this hotspot areas. And we've also increased our outreach, doing mailers and social media postings to make sure that people are aware of the street sweeping schedule and so they can repark their cars as needed. Additionally, we need to continue to gauge our project effectiveness. So we have several ways that we're collecting data, and one of those ways is to have the street sweeper grade the route every time they sweep so we can really see if there's improvements made over time. For everyone's information, you know, street sweeping has been one of the most effective ways shown to reduce pollutants in the water surrounding cities. So a little interesting bit of information. So another project that we've begun and that will continue this year is installation of full trash capture devices. And so what these devices are is they're essentially filters or screens or can even be nets in certain areas that are installed in storm drains and then taken out and disposed of to prevent any and all trash from entering our creeks and waterways from the storm drain system. So this is also going to be, you know, probably focused the most on our trash hotspot areas. And we've begun conceptual design with our goal to install some devices in 2023. Okay, so other than some new projects aimed at trash pollution reduction, there's several other that we're going to be starting soon. One is to expand our pesticide and green agriculture programs. Right now, we have very specific target audiences for that, but we've realized there's a lot more different types of land use and different audiences that we could be targeting. So our goal is to expand that outreach and tailor it as appropriate. We are also in support of the indirect potable reuse project with partners at the Goleta Water District and Goleta Sanitary District. This project would fully treat all of our wastewater and then re-inject it up gradient into our aquifer in order to increase our water supply for water resiliency within our city. Some other projects that we are currently evaluating is the potential to bring recycled water to Bella Vista Park and potentially Evergreen Park for use of irrigation. And we're also evaluating numerous infiltration projects around the city. And the goal of these, and they're usually, natural landscaped or bioretention features combined with dry wells that really allow for infiltration and groundwater recharge, or potentially, to help recharge creek base flow around the city. And on the topic of creek base flow, we need to start doing a creek base flow evaluation. And for those of you who don't know, creek base flow is pretty important and is a good indicator of the health of your creek. We need to know what our base flow is, and then we need to understand changes. There's a lot of habitats that depend on this base flow, and this is the portion of the creek that flows in drought conditions. So whether it be on the surface or whether it be in the sediments below the creek bed, this is really important to understand. And it will also let us know if there's any changes that are causing harm to our creeks. Or, say, if we have an infiltration project where we intend to improve base flow, we have to know what that is to start with and monitor it to know if that's successful. And, of course, we're going to continue to tailor our development review program and our outreach with developers and those within the city to ensure that new development maximizes infiltration and encourages water reuse as part of water resiliency. All right, and with that, I will hand it over to Jane Gray to talk about next steps.
Thanks. Thanks so much, Ms. Nelson. So the next steps really are the 2 years that we have in front of us. And we're going to be regrouping on a number of things in these next 2 years. We'll be regrouping with the Technical Advisory Committee. And really key and foremost in that process is not only the technical acumen that all of those entities bring to the table, but the fact that they are also representative of agencies in and around the city of Goleta. So if you remember back to the first image that I put up there, City of Goleta is sort of, you know, in the mid portion of some of the watersheds. We're not at the bottom of the watershed, we're not at the top of the watershed. So, you know, as Ms. Nelson discussed and as Mr. Thompson also referenced, there are upper watershed issues that flow into our creeks and that we have to address. And so working with our partners outside of the City of Goleta is also really helpful in ensuring that we're working on a whole watershed approach. So that's part of the discussion with the Technical Advisory Committee. And then really branching out and meeting folks where they are within the community. So it's really wonderful that we can be here and talk with you, but it's also really important that we meet people where they are in their watersheds, in their watershed addresses, whether that be schools, whether that be working with the Audubon, whether that be having community events at the with Beautify Goleta, but really dialoguing with people and creating energy and events and opportunities really to engage in direct watershed support, cleanups, creek cleanups, you know, understanding how creek monitoring works, opportunities for tree planting. So really getting our hands dirty, if you will, in implementing the plan. And then part of this is obviously the financial component. How are we going to fund all this? So making sure that the projects are right-sized, that they are scoped appropriately, that we're aligning the opportunities with funding with the projects that we have, ensuring that there's synergies between the projects that we're moving forward with and funding, such that we can achieve the highest benefit for those projects. And then as we move along, refining priorities, and that's not only defined by what happens on the ground, but also various opportunities to receive feedback. We did do a survey, sort of a soft launch at the Lemon Festival, and then did a follow-on digital survey. And we'll be looking at those opportunities as we continue to implement the plan over the next couple of years. So that's all I have. And I think we're happy to take your questions. Very much appreciate your time this evening. Thank you.
Thank you so much for the presentation. Ms. Mendoza, I'd like to begin to see if any members of the public would like to make a comment about this item.
If there are any members of the public wishing to make a comment on this item on the agenda, please use the raise hand icon and I will call on you shortly. It looks like we do have one hand that is raised. Brian, I will go ahead and unmute you on our side. If you can just unmute you on your side, you will have 3 minutes.
Good evening, and thank you, Chair Williams and commissioners. I'm Brian Troutline with the Environmental Defense Center Watershed Program Director. Thank you to the city and staff for developing the Creek and Watershed Management Plan in collaboration with the Technical Advisory Committee groups, including the EDC. Our creeks have many important values. They're natural filters. They provide clean water to our beaches, and they recharge our parched aquifers. They provide for passive recreation like trails and open spaces and nature appreciation and birding and places to seek solitude in our city. Important fish and wildlife habitat like the endangered steelhead, one of the most endangered fish in America, right here in Goleta's creeks, and the red-legged frog, federally threatened species. And bears and mountain lions and bobcats use our creeks in the middle of the night as wildlife corridors. Our creeks are natural flood control protection for our communities, and they provide aesthetic backdrops for our neighborhoods. Property values increase when our creeks are restored. Unfortunately, though, our creeks and watersheds are suffering, and we must resolve these problems. We've heard about the water pollution. EDC found a gray water system discharging into a Goleta Creek just a couple of years ago, and we have reported habitat clearing, clear cutting of our riparian trees along several Goleta creeks, resulting in violations being issued in recent years. Our creeks are concrete channelized, Phelps Creek, San Pedro Creek, Los Caneros Creek, Glen Annie Creek, all concrete channelized, and We recently discovered that one of the concrete walls has fallen into Phelps Creek, constraining, basically blocking the whole creek. Diversions and wells dry up our creeks, turning lush riparian habitats into dry areas. Our creeks used to flow year round, but most of them don't anymore because too much water is siphoned directly out of them. And the trash, you know, with EDC's cleanups we see every year, the trash is increasing. And the creeks are just not as accessible and safe as they used to be. Every child should be able to go down to our creeks to learn about nature and watch the fish and the frogs. Well, EDC has reformed the Watershed Alliance with 21 groups, and we want to be involved with the city implementing the CWMP. EDC has removed over 10,000 pounds of trash directly from our creeks just this year alone. We want to be partners with the city in implementing the CWMP from the ground up, identifying community priorities and projects, seeking grants, organizing planting and weeding days. A Measure B passed and we worked real hard. 18 of the Watershed Alliance groups endorsed it. That's a funding source we can use for our creek and watershed management plan to clean up and restore our creeks. So in closing, we want to thank the city for recognizing that creeks and watersheds are a very high community priority and for developing the creek and watershed management plan in collaboration with the public and nonprofit groups. As we move from developing to implementing the CWMP, we're here to help and we greatly appreciate our partnership with the city. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Troutline. Greatly appreciate your comments and all of your work, as we noted earlier in the meeting. I see one commissioner who would like to ask a question or make a comment. Other commissioners, please let me know if you would also like to do that. Commissioner Furia, please.
Hi, Mr. Thompson, Ms. Nelson. I'm sorry, I didn't put your name right in my head, so. Jane, Ms. Gray, thank you all for your presentation today. Really love all the great work that is happening around the creeks. I will echo what Mr. Troutwine said as well. Amazing work. I have one sort of practical question for Ms. Nelson and then a larger question, which I think will be directed at Mr. Thompson, so I'll do one at a time. First, Ms. Nelson, you were talking about the street sweeping. Excuse me. The street sweeping efforts, first of all, got all of your communications, loved it. I thought it all the outreach was great to make the public aware of how that's all changing. My question, and you've convinced me very quickly, the importance of street sweeping. I've always thought it was great, but we don't currently in Goleta have any sort of repercussions for not moving one's car during street sweeping week. So you mentioned that the drivers are actually going to be keeping track of their route. Will they be paying attention to how many cars are in the way? And if that continues to be a problem, is that something we're considering adding, like actual enforcement of no parking on street sweeping days and times?
Commissioner Furia, it's a very good question, and of course something that has come up in discussion time and time again. The implementation of any parking restrictions and enforcement would of course be a multi-departmental collaboration and ultimately a city council decision. So what Environmental Services is doing right now is implementing other measures, and then we'll be gauging our effectiveness over time. So what we can do is we can inform the City Council as well as other departments how our existing measures are and whether we would recommend additional measures or not.
Excellent. I love that we don't have them right now, and if we could get to the point where we don't need them, that's even better. But I also want to make sure that if we're doing the street sweeping and it's having the positive impact that you said that it could have on the city. So that's excellent. Thank you. Mr. Thompson, or anyone, I suppose, I know you recently did a citywide survey to better understand the community's needs around creek and watershed. I think that was mostly focused on priorities and education. Is that something that'll be integrated into some of the efforts moving forward, or how will that information be used?
Commissioner Fury, absolutely. So we've got over 400 responses, 417 responses so far on that survey. And you know, the reason we put out the survey is so that we can get that information directly from the community, inform our work plan going forward. We know already that people that live in Goleta value our creeks, and really we want to get, you know, a couple more steps deeper into what it is about our creeks that they value, and that'll inform where we as staff prioritize our projects as we move to City Council to recommend funding of our annual budget and work plan.
Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other commissioner questions or comments? I have three, and so you guys can keep thinking whether you have any additional ones. I'll direct all of these to you, Mr. Thompson, then you can redirect any or all as appropriate. My first question has to do with your explanation of what you're thinking about doing going forward for removal of invasive species. And I will say, as someone who walks up and down a lot of our creeks, there are a lot of invasive species to deal with. You laid out a three-step process: identification, kind of developing a plan and removing, and prioritization in there some places. Do you have timelines or, goals in terms of when you're going to complete each of these phases? Will they be completed in total, or will it be, you know, per species or per stream? I would love to have a clear picture of what timing looks like to accomplish this.
Sure. So, Chair Williams, for any project that we're talking about, it takes staff. And as we mentioned earlier in the project, my division in particular is understaffed right now. We have those positions funded by City Council, and we're very grateful for their support. But we need a person, an accomplished person in that position to move the project forward. That said, we do have funding under our capital program to do a system-wide inventory and update of our open space ESHAs. That's a project that I brought forward as part of our annual work program review several months ago to the commission. That can kickstart some of that work, and I would anticipate that in late spring we would develop an RFP to hire a consulting company that can go out and do some of the mapping. We also have some grant applications that staff are working on to help fund this. And so if it's not a city staff person doing that work, then it would be a consultant similar to Ms. Gray and Dudek. But we would go through a request for proposal process. So in short, you know, we're internal staff. We'll be scoping, doing the RFP, and then anticipate that the actual work would start in earnest in the next fiscal year. So that would be July 1. And we'll see that borne out through our budget recommendations to City Council in the spring.
Okay, very good. Mr. Troutwein expressed great interest in having the community and people he works closely with very involved in the CWMP going forward. How are you planning on making sure the community is well informed and you're able to take advantage of all the community interest and expertise?
I'll do a brief response and then pass it on to Ms. Nelson and Ms. Gray. One of the things that our team, so we meet on a regular basis because we have individual parts of the CWMP that we're implementing, but there's a lot of overlap between the various divisions that we're managing. One of the things that has come up time and time again over the last several months is the importance of going to where the community is. So I would have loved to have had 50 public speakers on this item this evening, but we didn't. And that's not to say that people aren't interested about the topic. It's just that, you know, this isn't on their radar, this meeting. And so taking it to where the people are, you know, some of the things that we've talked about is going to elementary schools, working with principals and teachers on doing some sort of curriculum alignment where we can provide outreach that aligns with the Common Core standards and not make it extra work for teachers. One example would be, what is a watershed? You know, that's something that can align with a lot of things that are being taught about the physical sciences and reinforce the importance of water quality and habitat. So that's one area. Some others are these sorts of community planting days that we have envisioned for 2023-24, where you get a flyer in your neighborhood that, hey, Saturday morning from 9 to 11, come out and meet at your local creekside area that we've identified and planned out a small restoration project and actually get your hands dirty pulling weeds and planting natives. So those sorts of tangible events we feel are going to be the most effective in the long run in getting people engaged. Anything to add about what else we're doing for outreach?
Just a few comments, Chair Williams, Mr. Thompson. Outreach and communication and involvement is one of the main goals for Ms. Gray with DUDAC to come up with a plan. And this will include, you know, a number of things which George mentioned. Of course, we really want to be out with the community, and we're going to be using all the tools and all the methods that we can, social media, flyers, as well as events. But then it's also important to not forget the experts in our community. As Mr. Troutwine mentioned, you know, there's EDC and there's numerous other important groups within our community that each have their own areas of expertise. So while we will continue to engage with the TAC as a whole, we will also be reaching out to specific groups who might be guiding us for specific efforts. So that's going to be something that Ms. Gray will be evaluating and coming up kind of with a schedule and a plan for each of our projects. And then, of course, we'll take it on a project-by-project basis to see what avenues make the most sense in terms of engagement. And also important to mention that, you know, resources continue to be something we have to pursue. To do all this outreach takes resources.
Very good. Thank you. And I think I'm going to reserve my last question for a little later in the meeting because I have a parallel question for Ms. Plummer on that. So, excellent. Any, yes, Commissioner Walton.
Thank you. I don't so much have a question, but just a comment and encouragement. I had my three boys when they were in elementary school at Goleta Family School. They each three did projects with the watershed. And I'm proud to say that when I looked at that map, I knew exactly where our old watershed was, and I could identify my new watershed. So I do know my watershed address. And I just want to just emphasize again the importance of, which you already said, of just the schools and the teachers. We have some amazing humans who work with little people in Goleta. And so I'm encouraged and excited that you guys are going to continue to do a good job outreaching. Like I said, my boys went through Goleta Family School, and they did amazing work sections on the watershed. And then it was a big project that the whole family had to get involved in. And I went through it three times, so thank you for that. Just encourage you again to maybe tie this into some after-school programs, maybe with the Boys and Girls Club. And then also consider Wilderness Youth Project. They do some amazing work where their activities are already out in along the creeks. And so maybe there's an opportunity for some joint work there. Thank you so much for your work.
Thank you, Commissioner Walton. Any other commissioner comments? All right, there is no action item needed on this item. So thank you very much, Mr. Thompson, and your wonderful colleagues. Really appreciate hearing from you all today on this really important topic that's so important to Goleta's identity, to making us the city we are, and to protecting fellow species like the steelhead and the red-legged frogs and the other species that enjoy our lands, and to looking to enhancing our watersheds going forward. Thank you very much. All right, that brings us to item B2, which is the 2022 year in review. I feel like we ought to have some music before we get into this item. We'll be hearing from both Ms. Plummer and Mr. Thompson. Ms. Plummer, will you be beginning?
Yes, thank you, Chair Williams. I'm just trying to load it up here. One second, please.
Oh, no.
Yay, I did it. There we go. So thank you, Chair Williams, members of the commission. I am so excited to talk to you a little bit about the 2022 year in review. We actually went through all of our commission agendas over the past year and got a little tired while we were doing that. We've done a lot this year. So Mr. Thompson and I just pulled out some highlights that we wanted to share with the commission. So I'm going to lead it, and we'll have Mr. Thompson talk about his projects, and I'll talk about my projects. And you've heard all these projects in depth. So again, just some highlights to remind us when we wonder why we get together every other month. It just does not want to go.
We love this
one. Yay. Okay. So for the Parks and Recreation area, we have the splash pad project and the community garden projects publicized for competitive construction bids. Both of those bids will be closing later this week. We had to release some addenda, so the bid time frame got pushed a little bit, but they will be closing at the end of this week. We've had the Stowe Grove Park survey results and master planning project. We just held our second workshop last Saturday, and a few of our commissioners were there. Very well attended. We had the replacement of four playgrounds throughout Goleta, and we had at the commission level the selection of equipment for Matilda Park. So we've done a lot of work on each of these projects, and it shows we were able to get some things completed and get things moving forward. Mr. Thompson?
Great, thank you. Two of the things that we're really proud about in our Parks and Open Space Division is not only just the ongoing maintenance of managing and maintaining all of our wonderful park amenities and open spaces, but dedicating time to look towards the future. And getting competitive grant funds is a big part of that. I could spend most of my days just working on things that people are calling about, that they want to see improved, but it takes resources. And in this today's day and age, really the competitive grant field is incredibly competitive. And so really happy with our progress this year in identifying close to $2 million of competitive grant funds that are going to be coming to our city to directly improve habitats and the human experience in our open spaces. So that will set us up for years of work ahead of us.
Okay, so a few other program highlights. We did launch the Adopt a Park program, and we have, even though we lost Mr. Mendoza Diaz in Parks and Recreation working on this program, he still has been dabbling his foot in there. And we still have 10 different spaces in Goleta that are officially adopted either by organization or by neighborhood residents. So fantastic job on that. Just a reminder, he didn't join us until February of this year. And then he only worked 20 hours a week. And then he left me in August. So he's done very well with 10 spaces officially adopted, and they keep going. We were able also, with Mr. Mendoza Diaz's assistance, bring back the July as Parks and Recreation Month with the popular clinics. We've had it throughout the COVID experience, but we were able to put in some very active clinics that were very well received, again, by some of our commission members as well, attending a few of those. So very exciting. This year as well, Neighborhood Services was assigned to manage the Goleta Community Center beginning January 1st of 2023. That is coming up on us very closely. We've been working hard on that since February of this last year. So that's a big work effort. We have launched the Goleta Community Center strategic plan. And as I mentioned in your in the report on the consent calendar, you will be seeing a survey being sent out in the coming weeks about that project, and that will close in January. So make sure you help spread the word to have everybody provide their input on the community center. We also hired our very first recreation supervisor. This is a first for the city of Goleta, and Kelsey Hamilton, who will be the day-to-day operator of the community center while we go through these construction projects. So we're excited. Kelsey's been working hard, and he's really excited to take on what's happening in January. And then Mr. Thompson, I don't want to steal your thunder, so I'll let you talk about the other two.
Right. We have two new contracts that are going to directly result in a visual improvement in our parks and open spaces. The first one being just our janitorial services, the daily cleaning of our parks, restrooms. That really matters to folks that use our facilities, that they have a safe, clean place to recreate. And then the other part of that contract is having a company come out and remove trash. And so the previous item speaks directly to this. We have an on-call contract now where I can just contact them. They'll show up same day, haul away trash. That contract got approved in November. We've already removed 4,000 pounds of trash from our creeks and open spaces in the last month. That is a big visual change that has real impacts on habitats, people, and our water quality. And then the other one related is our landscape maintenance. Just having dedicated staff, trapping gophers, replanting plants, putting down mulch, tending to our recreational turf areas, fixing our irrigation systems. We're finally at a place in our parks and open space system where we have people managing, maintaining on an upward trend, not just a straight or a downward trend. We're finally pulling up, and we'll see those results in full next year.
Okay, so quite a few of our discussions had a community impact. You may recall we had the Heritage Ridge Park consideration. We had recommendations for our mid-cycle budget process. We had the ribbon cutting for the pickleball courts at the Goleta Community Center. That conversation actually happened right before the end of 2021, but everything went into effect in 2022. We had a multi-agency coordination and response to encampments for homeless encampments. And we had the tenant improvements at the Goleta Community Center field fence line. And that was just a fun day for that reveal. Commissioner Furia was there for that reveal as well. And we had recommendations for the 2023 work plans for Parks and Recreation and for Parks and Open Space Divisions that we'll be carrying forward through the budget process. So looking towards 2023, just a few things that we're real excited about. Obviously, we have a lot more. You've seen our work plans. But we have the community garden at Armitos Park improvements project that will be completed. We're hoping to go into construction in January. The splash pad and improvements at Johnny D. Wallace Neighborhood Park will also be completed. Again, hoping to go to construction in January. Matilda Park renovation will be completed. We're hoping to go out to bid either at the end of December or the first part of January. And goal four is to begin the implementation process of the Elwood Monarch Butterfly Grove. And then we have the Stowe Grove Park master plan finalized. And then once that's finalized, we'll be moving on to those next steps. And that's all we have for you for just our year snapshot at a glance, some of the highlights from 2022. Both Mr. Thompson and I are available if you have any questions.
All right, commissioners, do you have any questions? Yes. Commissioner Jenkins.
With regard to goal number four and the Monarch project, could you add a little bit more detail to that? What is actually proposed? Because we've heard several different things.
Absolutely. Chair and Vice Chair Jenkins and commissioners, if you recall, we were at the commission earlier this fall with the proposed design. We have our team, which includes our civil engineer, landscape architect, butterfly experts, and then several permitting experts. Right now, we are set to go to City Council in the early part of 2023. There's going to be a development plan review by the City Council and review of the coastal development application that then goes to the Coastal Commission. We anticipate that the Coastal Commission meeting will be next summer. At that point, the Coastal Commission will decide if they are going to issue a coastal development permit. As soon as that happens, then we turn around and bid out the project. At the same time, we're doing a lot of work behind the scenes, growing native plants, working with our community groups to build support, continuing to refine the project before we get City Council. Don't want to beat around the bush. We still have a lot of work to do before we get City Council. And then at the same time, we are working on the final permitting for a lot of the fuel management work. So by fuel, I mean the dead down brush and trees that we want to take care of, chip up to reduce the fire risk to the community. We anticipate that work will start in the spring, if not earlier. Of course, paying attention to the thousands of butterflies that we have out there right now. We can't do any work if it's going to disturb the monarchs. But the good thing is our site is 90 acres. Within that 90-acre context, there are areas where we don't have butterflies and can start some of that work. Vice Chair Jenkins, to answer your question, really the bulk of the work won't happen until we get the coastal development permit in hand from the Coastal Commission. And the earliest is next summer. So we would see starting next summer into the following 2 years, we've got work happening. And that can be trails, planting, removing large trees. The work is extensive, and so it's going to be a multi-year project.
And as a follow-up question, and I don't know if my memory is serving me correctly, but we talked about a reduction in the amount of monarchs that were in the Arrowwood Grove. And now you're saying that there's thousands more. In just a year, that's a pretty big increase. And what do you attribute that to?
I don't attribute it to anything that we've done. So we're not taking credit for that. There's a couple different factors. Just generally, their populations are in flux, and so some years they're much smaller, some years they're bigger. But overall, we have seen a decline in the population. So even though we have thousands more, we're not out of the woods, so to speak. It is a good year for monarchs. But next year, we could be right back in the same situation as we were 2 years ago, where it was really a drastic situation. We're still in the middle of the overwintering season, so if we have some significant January storms and a huge amount of mortality, meaning at Elwood, some of the sites where they're clustering are not very well protected because of the die-off from eucalyptus trees, and we get some strong storms, we could see increased mortality, and then our population would be down towards the end of the season. So it's a precarious situation.
Is it milkweed that they feed off?
To review the milkweed issue real quick, I will try to be as clear as possible. In Goleta and along the coast, we should not be planting milkweed in an effort to help monarch butterflies. We should be planting other native plants that provide nectar. So just think native plants that have flowers to provide nectar for monarch butterflies. Adult monarchs, as they start their winter into spring migration and go inland, they need food. And so milkweed should be planted if you're in the San Ynez Valley or other areas inland. If you were to plant milkweed here, there is a danger of interrupting the migration cycle. And so adult monarchs will lay eggs here, and there will be no incentive really to continue on their inland migration.
Vice Chair Jenkins, before you speak again, please make sure you turn on your microphone and speak into the microphone. They can't hear you at home.
Any other questions at this time?
At this moment, no.
Okay. I have one follow-up question to Commissioner Jenkins' questions, and Mr. Mendoza, I'm going to ask you to see if there's any public comments, and then we'll continue with Commissioner questions. But Mr. Thompson, are you currently planning on bringing your draft final plan to the Commission before you take it to the City Council regarding Elwood Mesa?
Chair Williams, we're not actually. So we've gotten a significant amount of input from the commissioners through the several meetings that we've brought the item in 2022. We've got a high level of input, very detailed input from a wide variety of stakeholders throughout the community. In general, we've responded to a lot of the input. So for example, footbridges, trail design, species selections for the Grove, and I'm continuing to have those conversations with those individual members of the community. But at this point, you know, one of the decisions for us as staff is how many times do we, you know, bring an item back to the various boards and commissions. So Park and Rec Commission, Design Review Board, Public Tree Advisory Commission. At some point, we have to move on the project, and that's where we are right now, is getting to City Council so that they can review the project and either give us the green light or send us back to the drawing board for some late changes there.
Okay. I can understand your logic in this case, given how much public process there has been and how many times, happily, you've been to the commission. Can you just, though, please give the commission maximum heads up on what your proposal is, the timing for that, so that we can review it and potentially comment to the City Council on our own, in our own capacity. But if you can provide us that information as soon as possible, as soon as it's available directly, absolutely, that would be terrific, given how much time we've spent and comments we've received about it. So thank you. All right, Mr. Mendoza, are there any public comments on this item?
If there are any members of the public wishing to make a comment on this item, please use the raise hand icon and I will call on you shortly. There are no members of the public wishing to comment.
All right. Yes, do I see you reaching, Mr. Commissioner Furrier? Please go forward.
I don't have a question. I just wanted to thank the staff and commission a little bit, but mostly the staff, for all the great work that we've done this year. I feel like I didn't start till late in the year on the commission, and I just, even before I started, I noticed all the many really fantastic improvements. I have very small children who have really enjoyed all the new parks. They've been really happy to be a part of the planning, as have I, for all the open spaces. So I just want to congratulate everyone on such an amazing year. Even the quick refresher on everything that's happened in just 1 year has been, it's just heartwarming. I love Goleta. I love all the great work we're doing. So thank you. Good job.
Thank you, Commissioner. Any other commissioner comments? I have just a couple, and then again, there'll be one last opportunity. I will obviously second what Commissioner Furrier just said. This is remarkable under any circumstances, but given the very small staff that we have, just to bear in mind our tiny, tiny staff, this is astounding, everything that was accomplished. So thank you so much. And thank you, Mr. Valdez, for all of your guidance and support, too. I mean, we spent a lot of time focused on our two, you know, main people that speak to us, but we really do want to thank you for your support. And you, Mr. Mendoza.
That's very kind. So I did want to make sure Mr. Mendoza got his props as well. but really, George and Joanne do a phenomenal job day in, day out. There's a lot of things that the commissioners don't see, a lot of things the council doesn't see. But responding to individual residents, dealing with all the different agencies that kind of have an impact on our parks and open spaces are, some of the times it's challenges, sometimes it's a positive thing, but you know, I'm very, very fortunate to work with such great people. So thanks go from me as well to you.
Yes, thank you. Speaking of limited staff, as we all know, at one of our previous commission meetings, we made the motion that if we got the bond, if we got the sales tax increase, which the wonderful people of Goleta voted for by a strong margin, that we urge that staff seek an additional position and a half to do for Joanne, for Mrs. Plummer's efforts. And so I just want to make sure that given that the sales tax provision was adopted, that will be pursued.
Yeah, we will certainly include those recommendations in our recommended budget to City Council. One thing that will occur as part of the Measure B sales tax, it still needs to be certified, but all signs point to that it passed pretty handedly. Those monies won't actually go into effect until like 2024, like January of 2024. They'll start to be collected. Okay. And as you might guess, there are a lot of items that people are seeking to use that funding for. City Council will be having some kind of priority setting for that. We'll be sure to bring up our desires as part of that. But of course, you might guess that additional $10 million can be spent quite quickly. So we'll do our best to advocate for what we need and what we want, but we also have to look at it through the lens of the city as a whole. Yeah. So thank you.
I do feel, in looking at the advertisements, that there was a lot of emphasis on Parks and Rec and on creeks and watersheds, and there was a lot of effort to get those constituencies out to support. So I think we can elbow our way to the front of the line and again, emphasizing how critically important it is to the quality of life here and how popular. And I really do believe a critical part of its passage. So, I just reflected a little bit more on your comment, Mr. Thompson, why there were not lots of people here speaking in favor or about the creeks and watershed information. And the more I think about it, and I don't know whether this is true of other commissioner experiences, I do spend a lot of time walking next to creeks and watersheds, but it's hard, right? You crawl under gates, you are not sure whether, you're walking on, not very well-defined paths without, as you say, signage. One of the nicest places that we do recognize our creeks and watersheds is Johnny D. Wallace Park. Thanks very much to Mrs. Plummer's efforts on that, just model park. But I'm trying to think of very many other instances where there is any welcoming, to develop the constituency that would be here, that would really want to make sure our creeks and watersheds are protected with the interpretive signage, with the easy access. We know how important access is. Welcoming, getting, as Commissioner Walton said, getting the community, the youth, and so forth out there. And it's hard. One watershed I'm very familiar with is Las Vegas Creek, because our house is literally right next to it with just a street. That happens to be in the HOA I'm in. And so that's not even, that stretch is not even Goleta public property or access. But how we connect our paths, how we interpret, that it seems to be such a priority to really get the public out there, starting with youth, to understand and appreciate it. And we're not even close to that yet. So just an answer sort of to your implicit question, why not more people? It's just not accessible right now to the public. And that's really something I think that's a high priority. And as you know, Mr. Thompson, and this was the question I was going to ask you before, you identified the need for more money for creeks and watersheds. We passed a motion to get more money to Ms. Plummer and Parks and Rec, but I really hope you will also pursue money for creeks and watersheds and the items you listed, because I do think that is a priority. And again, something that was highlighted extensively in the promotion for the sales tax. And I think you can elbow your way up to the front of the line, because we just need more. We need more accessibility, more interpretation to have the community really know and love our remarkable creeks and watersheds.
Well, Parks and Recreation has six elbows right here compared to Mr. Thompson's two.
I know.
We'll try to work together.
I know. Thank you.
Chair Williams, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind the commission that the Armitos, the Community Garden and Armitos Park Improvements Project also includes the completion of the bike path, the multi-purpose path that will go from Johnny Wallace Park up to Armitos Avenue. So little by little, we are working on that, but that will complete that segment of that multi-purpose path. So we're very excited about that. And lots of great restoration opportunities happening along that creek bed.
Thank you. It's a model. It's really, really beautifully done. All right. Any other commissioner comments on this? Okay. Again, this also does not require any action. Is that correct? Let me double check.
Correct.
Yes, that's correct. And so we'll move on to discussion items, action items. And we have one tonight, which will require a motion and a vote. And that is January Parks and Recreation Commission meeting date change consideration. Ms. Plummer, would you please speak to this item?
Thank you, Chair Williams, members of the commission. Earlier this year, we had voted on a changing from our first Wednesday of every even month to the second Wednesday of every odd month, which would mean our first meeting in 2023 would be January 11th. As you know, we've been hard at work on the Stowe Grove master planning process. And as a commission, not all of the commissioners can attend the workshops that we have because we would be in a violation of a Brown Act. So we wanted to propose to the commission that we cancel the meeting of January 11th, reschedule a January meeting on January 25th, and that would give our project team the opportunity to take the data that they've collected from the workshop this past weekend, as well as we're getting ready to release a survey. And that survey will close on Sunday, December 18th. And the project team will be able to take all of that data, put it together, and present that to the commission and the public at a workshop setting so that we can interact and go back and forth with the public. And that would allow all of the commissioners to be present and provide feedback. That will also serve as the time that we bring it to the commission, and then with the incorporation of any last minute changes, details, recommendations that the public may have or the commission may have, that would be what would be carried forward to the council at a later date. So that's we're asking that we cancel the 11th. The other reason is on the 11th, coming off of a December meeting, we don't have a whole lot of work to share with you, so we would have a very light agenda on January 11th anyway. So we are proposing January 25th. It could be at least a 2-hour meeting, so we wanted you to be prepared for that, and it would be a workshop setting. And so that is the change right now planned for January. I will also share at this time, it's not on your report, but in March, we are proposing an early start to our March meeting for some additional responsibilities that the council recently handed over to the commission. There'll be more details to come on that, but it would require an earlier start of, I think we're looking at 4:30 that day, and that's not gonna become a habit. It's just we wanted some time for the commission just to work on that item before we take all the other business that we have. So aside from that, I don't foresee any other changes at this time, but tonight we're only here to talk about January.
Yes, although I do want to share something with the commission. This underscores how much the city council appreciates our engagement and our feedback. And so our additional responsibility given by the city council at their initiative was that we will be reviewing grant requests having to do with parks and recreation. So we will be in the grant business. So stay tuned, but I particularly emphasize that to just, you know, thank the city council for their confidence in us and their, you know, belief that we are contributing a lot and have a lot to contribute and the expertise that this brings to issues. But we will be providing recommendations on grant requests. So very cool. Anyway, the January meeting will be exciting. To underscore that, Ms. Plummer, how many people showed up? Was it just last Saturday, right?
Yes, the last time I counted, thank you, Chair Williams, we had over 62 people that had shown up for the workshop, and that was the last time I counted. I know there's some more that came in and some more that came out, but we about doubled what we saw at the first workshop, and it was thrilling to see so many wonderful faces and hear so many different thoughts and opinions about what should take place in the park, and a true dedication to the love of Stowe Grove Park. So really confirmed why we're here and why we're doing what we're doing, and lots of gratitude for such an in-depth public process.
Yes. All right, very good. Mr. Mendoza, could you please see if there are any public comments regarding this action item?
If there are any members of the public wishing to speak on this item, please use the raise hand icon and I will call on you shortly. There are no hands for comment.
Thank you very much. Any commissioners like to speak to this action item? Let me say, I think definitely carve out more than 2 hours in your schedule for this meeting. And so all commissioners, your January 25th is just waiting for this opportunity, right? Okay, very good, everyone can come. That's great. I will accept a motion to cancel the January 11th, 2023 Parks and Recreation Commission meeting and replace it with a meeting to be held on January 25th. Commissioner Jenkins.
I move to cancel the Park and Recreation Commission meeting on January.
Vice Chair Jenkins, can you turn your mic on, please? Thank you.
You told me that last time. And I forgot. I move that the Park and Recreation Commission substitute their January 11th meeting, we'll cancel that, and adopt the January 25th, 2023 meeting.
Thank you. Is there a second to Vice Chair Jenkins' motion?
I'll second the motion.
Thank you very much, Commissioner. Replogal Purinton. Pretty good. appreciate it. It has been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, Mr. Mendoza, will you please take a roll call?
Commissioner Furia?
Yes.
Commissioner Hugh?
Yes.
Commissioner Replogal Purinton?
Aye.
Commissioner Walton?
Aye.
Vice Chair Jenkins?
I have on my microphone, and I'm saying aye.
Chair Williams?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Thank you very much. This brings us to commissioner comments. As you know, this is the opportunity for commissioners to make comments on anything you would like to comment on, but staff cannot respond to the content on questions because the items are not agendized. But we always look forward to commissioner comments at this time. Commissioner Replogal Purinton.
I too want to thank you for all the work that has been done in 2022. The look back was incredible. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, Commissioner Hugh.
I just want to say that even though this is my first meeting, just seeing like the presentation, everything you guys have done has, it's really inspiring, especially as a teen, just to see kind of what you guys are doing, even if we may not always be aware of it and we're always in a classroom. So I just wanted to say that thank you for that presentation. It was very eye-opening and I'm really excited to be a part of this commission in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Hugh. And again, we're very pleased to have you on board, and it's going to be an exciting year next year with a lot of these projects opening, like the community garden and the splash pad, and many of the plans being completed and some of them initiated. So it's going to be an exciting year next year after a lot of hard work and accomplishment this year. Other comments, other commissioner comments? Well, I will also say one more time, thank you very much, Mr. Mendoza. Thank you very much, Mrs. Plummer and Mr. Thompson. Thank you very much, Mr. Valdez. What a team we are fortunate to have and work with, and what a lot you've accomplished and what a lot we have to look forward to. So to all, and thank you, commissioners. This commission is the strongest that I have had the opportunity to work with since being on the commission four years. And I'm very proud of all of you, your hard work and dedication to the commission. And thank you, City Council, for, again, the confidence you have in us and the progress we're making together. I wish all of you a happy holiday season and a wonderful new year. And again, look forward to working with all of you in 2023. Anything else from any other commissioners? Vice Chair Jenkins.
I move to adjourn.
All right. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you very much, Commissioner. It's been moved and seconded. All in favor? Aye. Opposed? All right. Happy holidays, everyone. Yeah.